You are Locked On Eagles, your daily Philadelphia Eagles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, everybody? It's Louis DiBiase joining you on this Tuesday edition of Locked On Eagles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Thanks for joining me today on another edition of the show as we gear up for Giants Week. Eagles now 4-6 after that butt-whooping is an understatement, I would say, this past Sunday against the New Orleans Saints. And we have our crossover edition of Eagles-Giants tomorrow. Gino Camilleri will be on that one with Locked On Giants. So check that out as tomorrow we move on to Giants Week, which is a big week for the Eagles. For those of you fans out there that are still hoping for playoff aspirations, for those of you that still see that the Redskins just lost Alex Smith, if you're not a believer in the what to me is a phony Dallas Cowboys team, two games with a bunch of division opponents left, this might still be an opportunity for the Eagles to make the playoffs if that's what you're hoping for. I know a lot of fans out there are already looking at mock drafts and looking at draft position because they just don't believe in this team. And after the game against the Saints, I don't blame you. But if you're into still this season and what this 2018 Eagles team can do, we're getting into Eagles-Giants tomorrow and then throughout Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, leading on up until that Sunday matchup between the two NFC East rivals. As for today, what we're going to be talking about on the show, Timmy Jernigan activated off the NFI list, and it wasn't a great day for coaches, specifically the offensive coaches. It wasn't a great look for some of the things they said that kind of left me and a lot of Eagles media members and fans alike scratching their heads. So that's what's coming up on this Tuesday edition of Locked On Eagles. If you missed any of our other shows, if you missed me and Gino really recapping, and Gino got heated, which is a good thing, and I totally get it. I feel like he was really mimicking what a lot of Eagles fans are feeling right now. We got into a lot of topics from that Saints blowout this past Sunday, so that's up on LockedOnEagles.com on our podcast feed, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, anywhere that where you listen to podcasts. Locked On Eagles should be up and available on those platforms. And we got into the Carson Wentz debate because this week so far, since that game, there has been a debate about how much criticism Carson Wentz deserves in all of this when it comes to the 4-6 start to the season. Not even a start at this point. We're more than halfway through the season. But just what has happened to this Eagles team at 4-6 coming off a Super Bowl victory, people are starting to look at Carson Wentz. So I'm not going to tease too much about what we talked about. Go check that out on yesterday's edition of the show. But as for today, guys, let's get into it. First thing we're going to start with, defensive tackle Timmy Jernigan, traded from Baltimore to Philadelphia last offseason, helped be a big part of that Eagles defense last year in the title run. He injured his back this summer on a non-football-related injury. He had a herniated disc that he had surgery for in his back. It kept him out for the first 10 games of the season. Jernigan is back on the active roster as he was activated off the NFI list today. So Jernigan most likely will play against the Giants this Sunday. Really, since the Howard Eskin report a couple weeks ago, people have been expecting Jernigan to make his return soon. And it can't come at a better time for this Eagles defense that has been decimated by injuries. And really, it started with him when you think about it. I mean, I know it started really last year when you lost Jordan Hicks, but it's kind of led through that. They've lost Derek Bart. I mean, I saw a tweet yesterday by John Clark of NBC Philadelphia that showed every name that has been on the injury report or that has missed time because of injuries in this season for the Eagles, and it is catastrophic. I have not seen, and we didn't do enough justice talking about this yesterday, I have never seen in my life. Last year, it was the quality of injuries, right? You lose Carson Wentz, Jason Peters, Jordan Hicks. Those are cornerstones of your team. The Eagles have lost those types of players this year and more when you think about it. They've lost their entire secondary. Derek Barnett is out for the year up front on the defensive line. Timmy Jernigan, again, like I said, was one of the first injuries in the summer. So he's been out, which has made the Eagles' interior defensive line suffer, not only in the past couple weeks in the run game, but also pass rush as well. Timmy Jernigan, the first 8 weeks of the season last year, was pretty disruptive, helping Fletcher Cox. Cox wasn't always teams couldn't just always double and triple team Fletcher Cox because they had to deal with Timmy Jernigan inside wrecking havoc as well, getting to the quarterback. He's really had that pass rush ability since Florida State, which is why a lot of people in that draft class And that was a draft class with Aaron Donald. I remember Timmy Jernigan being ranked higher than Aaron Donald by most draft analysts that year. And Jernigan didn't go in the first round. He was a second-round pick by the Baltimore Ravens, and Aaron Donald now is the best defensive player in football, most likely. But regardless, that was the upside of Jernigan, and we saw that for a large portion of last season. So getting him back is going to be huge because, again, Ronald Darby hurt, Sidney Jones hurt, Rasul Douglas hurt, Jalen Mills, Rodney McLeod, and it's in no order of importance because clearly Rodney McLeod is the most important of the guys I just listed, and I listed him last. But you lose basically your entire secondary that's not named Malcolm Jenkins. Your linebackers have underperformed, and now Jordan Hicks is week-to-week up front. Derek Barnett out for the season. Brandon Graham was dealing with that injury, that ankle injury, heading into the season that he dealt with in 2017. So he started off slow and really hasn't picked up a whole lot since, only having 3 sacks on the season. He's been efficient sometimes at getting pressures on the quarterback, but for the most part, he has not finished. So getting Timmy Jernigan right now is pretty timely. And some people, you might not care because, again, you've already given up on this season at 4-6, 2 games under .500. And just seeing the way this team has played, despite, yeah, they're only 2 games out and they play Washington 2 more times this year, we control our own destiny in that sense. But for most, for not most of you, but for a lot of you, that really doesn't mean much to you because you see week in and week out, this Eagles team has struggled. And they haven't just struggled. They have not found the consistency to rally off wins like they did last year. They have not won back-to-back games this year. Not once have they won back-to-back games this year. I mean, they're 4-6 for a reason. And so some people are finding it hard to believe that there's a run in store for this Eagles team. For me, I believe in it a little bit more because a lot of these matchups coming up are against division opponents. And the NFC East right now is probably the worst division in football. So for some of you, Timmy Jernigan coming back is a big help for this Eagles defense up front in the middle. We saw so far this year, the Eagles run defense overall has been really good again. They've been an elite unit for years back. They haven't really been a bad rushing defense for at least 4 years now, really since they've had Fletcher Cox. They have been strong up front against the run. And really, up until a couple weeks ago, they were strong this year. For the most part this season, they've been ranked 1 or 2 against the run. But the past couple weeks, they have significantly regressed in that area. They've gone from 2nd in rushing in the NFL to 12th in just 2 weeks. They've played Ezekiel Elliott and Alvin Kamara, 2 elite running backs and 2 of the best in football. So those guys are going to get theirs. But the way that not only those two, but Mark Ingram last week as well, had their way with the Eagles, who have both Hicks, well, they had Hicks healthy at the time, and Nigel Bradham. You still had Fletcher Cox on the inside. Brandon Graham is one of the best run-stopping defensive ends in the league. So is Michael Bennett, who can play in the interior as well. Chris Long is good in that area. Derek Barnett, they are missing him. But for the most part, they've been pretty healthy when it comes to run defense. Yet Ezekiel Elliott 2 weeks ago, 151 yards and a touchdown. Alvin Kamara had 71 yards. 71 yards on 13 carries, averaging 5.5 for Alvin Kamara this past Sunday. And Mark Ingram had 103 yards on 16 carries this week. 6.4 average. He also had a touchdown. So the Saints combined runners in Ingram and Kamara rushed for 174 yards on less than 30 carries. And Ezekiel Elliott the week before had 151 and a touchdown. So this Eagles rush defense has not been nearly the same as it has been so far this season and in years past. So we point to the secondary and how depleted it is and how bad the pass coverage has been. But the run defense, and really the pass rush in general too, Timmy Jernigan's going to help in that area as well. The pass rush has not hit home this year. They were pretty efficient throughout the first half of the season, but only 26 sacks on the year. They have not finished. They've gotten to the quarterback, but a lot of the time, quarterbacks are just bouncing off Brandon Graham. Michael Bennett really has been, and Fletcher Cox for the most part, have been the two only reliable, consistent pass rushers on this defense. And really, it's been invisible the past couple weeks. So the corners have been bad, and now they're injured. The linebackers have been poor in coverage. The safeties have been depleted. Malcolm Jenkins has got to do literally everything for that area. But the pass rush, too, and the run defense should not get off the hook. And Timmy Jernigan, hopefully, will help with that. Coming up next on the Locked On Eagles podcast, we're going to get into the coaches, specifically Mike Groh and Doug Peterson. Not a good look, not a good Tuesday for those two. We're going to get into that next right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. This episode of Locked On Eagles is sponsored by Action Heat. Action Heat makes the world's best battery-heated clothing. Heat on demand at the touch of a button. Control your environment with Action Heat. Action Heat clothing is engineered to safely and efficiently deliver heat via heating panels similar to a heated car seat. They can reach temperatures up to 135 degrees and are powered by rechargeable 5-volt lithium-ion batteries that last up to 12 hours on each charge. Action Heat batteries can also be used to recharge your phone or any other gadget while you're wearing them. Perfect for any friend or family member on your holiday gift list. Great for anyone who works outdoors, skiers, snowboarders, or anybody that really loves the outdoors or hates being cold. Action Heat clothing provides toasty warmth and comfort for your whole body, including heated jackets, socks, gloves, hats, and even undergarments like heated base layer shirts and long johns. You can stay warm and cozy from head to toe with Action Heat. Heated products that fit everyone's budget starting at just $39.99. We've got a special deal for our Locked On Eagles listeners to save 20% off your entire order. Just go to actionheat.com/lockedon. That's actionheat.com/lockedon to check out everything Action Heat has to offer. That's actionheat.com/lockdown and use the promo code LOCKDOWN at checkout to save 20% off. Stay toasty warm while you enjoy all your outdoor activities this winter with Action Heat. And we thank them for sponsoring the Locked On Eagles podcast today. All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Louis DiBiase on this Tuesday edition of Locked On Eagles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. Let's get into the coaches now, guys. This was something, the Eagles coaches have been under fire this year, and for good reason. Doug Peterson has significantly regressed as a play caller. Frank Reich got a head coaching job with the Indianapolis Colts. Right now, he's a Coach of the Year candidate. John DeFilippo was hired as the offensive coordinator with the Minnesota Vikings. He's probably going to be one of the hot commodities on the head coaching market next year. So the Eagles lose two crucial guys that helped in the game planning of the offense last year, and they named Mike Groh, the wide receiver coach last year, as the offensive coordinator, and he's become public enemy number one when it comes to, I don't know, maybe not for the coaching staff, maybe Jim Schwartz still is. He has gotten the butt of most criticism for the majority of the season, but Mike Groh has really been under fire in the past couple of weeks because we're seeing the success those other guys have had on other teams, and we're seeing the regression in the offense significantly from 2017. I mean, you look at that game last night, right? You look at Chiefs-Rams, where there's over 100 points combined between the two. You see those high-octane offenses, Jared Goff and Patrick Mahomes slinging it to everyone and anyone that they want down the field at will. And Todd Gurley and Kareem Hunt are efficient in the run game. And that was, it made me kind of sad watching that game yesterday. It was entertaining as hell, but that used to be what the Eagles were. Just a year ago, that was the type of game, we saw it last year when the Eagles played the Rams, and they won in that type of shootout game. The Eagles offense last year could have went toe-to-toe with both of those teams. The Eagles could have kept up with those two offenses, or the Saints offense this past Sunday. Any game last year. This year's team has no shot of that. And that's what's just so, it was disappointing watching that game as an Eagles fan because it made you just think back to last year and think to yourself, man, this Eagles team used to be able to score at will just like the Chiefs did yesterday and the Rams. And part of that is on Mike Groh. And today he's getting a lot of criticism for his comments on the Golden Tate trade. Someone asked him if it's been difficult for Golden Tate to get implemented into the offense. Are they struggling to scheme plays for Golden Tate? Is he not fitting with Nelson Aguilar? And the trade right now is turning out to be a disaster. Look, for me and Howie Roseman, I'll never blame Howie Roseman for making that trade, because what kind of message does it send to your roster and to your coaches if you don't make a trade at 4-4? It pretty much tells them, we don't believe that you're contenders this year. And at 4-4, coming off a big win against Jacksonville, it made sense that Howie Roseman sees what the Chiefs are doing and the Rams are doing with four passing targets that could be top options on other teams. And he's saying, I want to add another one, a guy that normally gets 90 catches and 1,000 yards in his sleep, and add that to Carson Wentz's arsenal. So I still don't think the trade, looking back, logistically was off from Howie Roseman's perspective. But for the coaches, it has been a disaster. They have not fit him in. And I don't know if it's either the front office made the trade driven by mostly them, which is a concern. If the coaches weren't in on it, and now they've been kind of caught off guard, and they've been trying to push him into the offense, just put a round peg into a square hole. Maybe that's what's going on, or maybe the front office was in on this with the coaches were in on this with the front office, and yet they're still failing to put Golden Tate, who they knew was the majority of the time was a slot receiver, and you know they figured eventually they would find a way to fit him in. Maybe they were just winging it. That's even more of a concern if the coaches were communicating with Howie Roseman. Howie Roseman did ask for Doug Peterson's feedback and Mike Rowe and Carson Wentz and talking to those guys and being like, hey, I know he is a slot receiver much like Nelson Aguilar, but can these two work? Because production-wise, Golden Tate's the best player on the trade market today at the deadline. And yet, they still cannot find ways to get him involved. I mean, Mike Rowe went up to the podium today. He virtually had no confidence. It didn't look like he had any answers for what's wrong with the Eagles. I mean, there's just so many things wrong with the Eagles. And Mike Rowe is an inexperienced offensive coordinator, and he is struggling. And he admitted today that it's been difficult to implement Golden Tate into the offense. That is an alarming quote when you spent a third-round pick, and I know there's the compensatory pick, which is going to be less than a third-round pick, and you're probably not going to have Golden Tate back next year unless you want to break the bank, because I think on the open market he's going to command big dollars. Nelson Aguilar suffering from this too. I think it's all why, I mean, Zach Ertz is having an amazing year and all the credit to him, but I think maybe that's why going to Zach Ertz has been so, there's been so many times that they go to Ertz and they've relied on Ertz week in and week out. Maybe because just the offensive play calling has failed and that this offense is failing to find ways to get Alshon Jeffrey the ball and Nelson Aguilar and Golden Tate now. This hasn't just been with a Golden Tate thing. This has been throughout the year. I mean, early on, Alshon Jeffrey was playing really well, but they have failed to utilize Nelson Aguilar the way they did last year. And Mike Rowe was the receiver coach. Mike Rowe, the receiver coach, is finding it difficult to implement Golden Tate in. So either the front office messed up and did not communicate with the coaches well enough and just got a bad fit on the offense, or the coaches thought they'd be able to scheme Golden Tate in and they failed to do so. Regardless, it's not a great look. It's not a great look for this Eagles offense that they can't get Golden Tate involved. Such a good talent at receiver. Let's listen real quick to what Mike Rowe exactly had to say at his press conference today about the trade.
I don't know if it's been more difficult, but it's been challenging to integrate them, and you know, certainly with the way that we weren't able to stay on the field the other day and find any rhythm to the offense, you know, that part of it, you know, then everything becomes a little bit disjointed. So if we can do a better job of staying on the field and having drives, and you know, everybody gets more involved in the offense.
Yeah, that's an alarming quote from Mike Rowe, that they can't get Golden Tate and Nelson Aguilar involved. Both of them have been, I mean, Aguilar had a big game against the Cowboys 2 weeks ago, but the majority of his yards came from that big bomb late in the game, which is what you hope to see more with Tate coming in, and you really haven't. And the excuse was against Dallas that they ran mostly no huddle, and Tate wasn't ready for that. He wasn't up to speed, despite them having a bye week. This doesn't look good. Not only it doesn't look good for Doug Peterson, of course, but it doesn't look good for Mike Rowe either. Again, he was the receiver coach last year. And they don't know how to get Golden Tate and Nelson Aguilar involved together. If you knew that this was going to make Nelson Aguilar's production decrease, and at the same time you were still just going to continue to rely on Zach Ertz and not try to, you know, get the ball to Golden Tate more, or Alshon Jeffrey for that matter, who's been invisible since really the Carolina game, then I don't see what the point of the trade was. I understand it from Howie Roseman's perspective, but for the coaches, they have failed to make that trade look good on the franchise. Coming up next on the Locked On Eagles podcast, now it's Doug Peterson's turn for the criticism. Bad look for Doug Peterson today after Malcolm Jenkins' comments on the Eagles' demeanor and attitude after the blowout loss to the Saints this past Sunday. That's coming up next right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Final segment of this Tuesday edition, November 20th, just a couple days away from Thanksgiving. Me, myself, and my co-host, Gino Camilleri, will have a special Thanksgiving edition of the podcast that will be up early Thursday morning. So maybe when you're driving to your local football field for the Turkey Bowl, give Locked On Eagles a listen. That's going to be a fun one, so stay tuned for that. Again, myself and my co-host Gino Camilleri will be on that. I'm not going to tease what the show is going to be about, but it's going to be a fun one. So make sure you tune in all week long right here on the Locked On Eagles Network. So Doug Peterson the other day said that he liked the fight the Eagles had against the Saints, you know, how they fought to the very end. Despite the Eagles getting blown out of the building by over 40 points. He said they fought to the very end. Let's hear what Malcolm Jenkins had to say about that exact issue today.
It was just embarrassing, you know, quite frankly. It was one of those things that I didn't feel like as a team we had a lot of fight. I'd rather get thrown out of a game than just lay down and take it. And, you know, it was a ton of frustrations. One being, you know, obviously me going back to New Orleans, that's a game that meant a lot to me. But just the demeanor of the team really bothered me. And then just the frustration of having guys that you work hard with and spend a lot of time with get injured. It's just a rough day overall. But, you know, at this point in time, we need to figure out some things about ourselves.
Yeah, see, I'm with Malcolm Jenkins here. I think this is a bad look for Doug Peterson. They did not fight to the end. That game was over before the first quarter ended. The Saints were already up 17 points. And the Eagles' offense looked disinterested. A lot of the defenders did as well. I mean, not the secondary, obviously, because there was a lot of practice squad guys getting their first taste of action against an MVP Hall of Fame quarterback in Drew Brees, against one of the best receivers in the league in Michael Thomas, and just the best offense in football probably right now with the Rams and the Chiefs, the New Orleans Saints are. And the demeanor was tough too. I mean, Carson Wentz throwing his helmet on the sidelines and Malcolm Jenkins doing the same. I totally understand those guys. Those guys are passionate. Those are two of the core members that have been the lone bright spots in this 2018 season. But for the rest, I didn't see that fight. I don't know what Doug Peterson's talking about. I think it was a bad look for Peterson that Malcolm Jenkins said this. Is Malcolm Jenkins wrong, though? No. He was right to call them out, and someone had to. Someone's got to light a fire under this team at 4-6 right now if they want any chance at making the playoffs this year. And it certainly hasn't been Doug Peterson this week. I don't know. Maybe he did in the locker room. I've seen Doug Peterson get fired up before. We've seen it even in sound effects that NFL Network runs with NFL Films. Last year against San Francisco, Doug Peterson was fired up about the offense. On the sidelines, he was yelling. Doug Peterson, from people around Eagles media, have said they've heard Doug Peterson and they've seen it at practice, that Doug Peterson can get fired up and call players out when he needs to. So I don't know if maybe he did it in the locker room, or maybe just he didn't do it at the press conference, or he's not hard enough on them. I don't know if it's because they're the Super Bowl champs. I don't know why it would be, what his motivation would be. Doug Peterson's demeanor, for the most part, is pretty cool, calm, and collected. But Malcolm Jenkins was right to light a fire under this team. Despite the injuries, that is not the main reason the Eagles are 4-6 right now. And this past performance was embarrassing. Yeah, it was against the best team in football probably right now in the New Orleans Saints. The hottest team in football right now. But you didn't put up a fight at all. And there was a lot of players on that field that I saw just a couple months ago beat the New England Patriots in the Super Bowl. So hats off to Malcolm Jenkins for calling out the team, something that Doug Peterson did not do this week. And even though you didn't even have to call him out, even if you decide not to call him out, don't lie about it and say they fought to the end. Don't insult my intelligence. I was watching that football game. That was a pathetic effort all around. And from Doug Peterson as well and the coaching staff, that was a pathetic coaching job those guys did. This team has looked unprepared week in and week out, especially to start the game, where they started so fast last year, every game in 2017. And this year, they have 21 points in the first quarter this year, overall. The Saints almost beat that in one game against the Eagles this past Sunday. So not a good look for Doug Peterson. Mike Groh, bad press conference today. The coaching staff continues to take a hit so far this season, and deservedly so. All right, everybody, that's going to do it for today's edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thanks for joining me on this Tuesday edition of the show. Follow me on Twitter, @DiBiase, LOE. follow the network at Locked On NFL and at Locked On Birds. For my co-host Gino Camilleri, who will be back tomorrow for a crossover Wednesday with Locked On Giants, I'm Louie DiBiase signing off. This has been the Locked On Eagles podcast. Thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading. And let's go, Birds.